We do have a guest with us today. It's David Keith. He's sitting in the back. You can recognize him by the globe. He's wearing a jacket that has the map of some of the world, at least, if not all of it, on there. And he comes from where I grew up. In fact, he called and he said, "Now, I recognize your name, and I'd like to ask you, with a name like Rosenfeld," and of course I know where that was going, and I said, "Yes, that is my dad." And apparently when, well, you might even explain a little bit more, but apparently when he was saved, I went and visited with my dad in the church in Stettler. So that was back before, well, I didn't really care about adults at that time. I was about that tall. And so I can't really say that I know David until today when we met, and it was good, though. But there is a connection there, and it's always nice to have connections with other people, especially in this wonderful realm called the family of God. Amen. So before he comes up, though, I think there was a video that we're going to show. Do I want all lights off? Yeah, we might as well. I'll just turn these off and enjoy the video, and then David is going to come straight up.
Is the time. Now is the time. Now is the time.
Good morning. Now is the time, so I better get up here. Thank you, Pastor Corey, for your introduction, and yes, it is good to be here. Actually, if you could go to that next slide that has the family picture on, that would be great to have behind me as I start talking. But it does go back a little ways. It was 1981 in the Pentecostal church in Stettler. It was across the street from the school. It's now a private home. But I went there, some friends who went to that church led me to Jesus in their living room, took me to church, and Pastor Len said, "Well, stand up and share a testimony." You know, I'd have been a Christian for, 3 days, and what's a testimony? Isn't that something you give in court? So I said, "Well, I asked Jesus into my life a couple of days ago, and I sat down." So that was the beginning, and the beginning of the wild ride that has been more than 30 years of walking with Jesus now, and it's been great, and a lot of that time has been spent with Operation Mobilization, but I've been privileged to be in over 30 nations around the world because I was part of our ship ministry that I'll tell you a little bit about, maybe, and then met my wife in Holland from South Africa, and you see them there, and you may remember her from about 10 or 11 years ago was the last time we were up here. The kids you won't remember, they were a little smaller then. They were, well, if it was 2005, our daughter would have been 3 and our son would have been 1 at that time. So they've grown up a little bit. I haven't, but I've grown out, but that's another story. But Josiah will be 12 next week. Glenna just turned 14 a little over a week ago, but she was celebrating her birthday this weekend with some friends over last night and out at Dairy Queen. So she gained a liking for ice cream at a friend's place in Edmonton. So, but she doesn't remember the buffalo meat, Len. We'll have to bring her back up for some of that, but you won't have any of that anymore unless you still have some in your freezer. But it is a blessing to be back up here. Wendy sends her greetings and wishes she could be here as well. One of these times, we'll have to try to make this venture as a family. When the kids were that small, it was a lot easier. Throw them in the car seat, tie them down, and they slept the whole way. But now, you leave home, and 5 minutes later, are we there yet? You know, for me, now it's an hour later, and are we there yet? But so it's not quite as bad. But it is a privilege to be here with you this morning. And if I can get my everything sorted out here for a minute. I have a table back there with what I lovingly call OM propaganda on. Good propaganda. So I want to highlight a couple of items on there. A DVD that you won't see this morning, I've often used in meetings, but it gives you a little bit of an overview of OM's work. So you'll recognize it by this cardboard cover. It'll tell you a little bit about the bigger picture of this movement that works in about 110 nations around the world, plus the ship ministry, short-term training, longer-term church planting, relief and development, a number of different things. So that'll tell you a little bit more about that, because this morning I'm going to zero in really on 2 items. I'd spend a week telling you about all the fields, and so it would test my knowledge, because I have a deeper knowledge of some than of others kind of thing, but it would take a long time to go through that. A newsletter there called Walk the Talk that OM Canada does about 3 times a year. So there's one issue of that out there. And a couple of the fields that I'm going to go to here this morning, a couple of areas that I want to highlight. There's some literature from a few others out there. And I have tickets for this movie, and I've heard great things about it. I have not seen it yet, so go see it. Take your friends to that. Little country called Moldova, and you're going to hear a little bit more about that, so I'm not going to say too much about these 2 sheets right now, but they highlight some of the different ministries. I just got this sent to me about 2 weeks ago from the field leader of Moldova, and so there's 2 pages there, and it summarizes a number of different things that are on there. And another one that we're going to talk a bit about this morning, we've started outreaches. Typically, OM Canada has been sending people out. And so, but about 10 or 12 years ago, it didn't suddenly dawn on us. We knew it had been happening. We realized that God has been bringing a lot of unreached peoples to our doorstep, and that's been OM's heartbeat since it began back in the late 50s and into the 60s kind of thing. And God was bringing these unreached peoples to Canada, to our cities. And so we launched outreaches in the bigger cities across Canada to reach out. But how many people are we going to reach in a week? So our bigger goal in that, yes, we want to reach some people, but we want to equip the saints to reach out to their neighbors from different backgrounds. And so I'll tell you a little bit about the outreach in Edmonton that I'm part of with a team of pastors there as well. In this sheet, you'll see a picture of that in the PowerPoint a little bit later. And if you're interested in something short-term, I have a printed version of it, a number of different the possibilities. And right now, there's a lot of opportunities out there. Right when I joined OM back in 87, our short-term stuff was basically based on the North American school calendar. So it was July and August. It was our summer vacation. That's when we sent people out, and they came back after that. Now it's the year-round, and it's all over the place in all of those countries that I talked about. So the printed version doesn't stay up to date very long. But you can have a look at that. It tells you of some of the opportunities in Asia, Latin America, Africa, different parts of the world, and gives you some more information about that. But if you're interested in kind of keeping up to date on that, thinking, hey, I want to do something down the road, then talk to me, and I'll show you how to access it on the website, because that is constantly changing and much more up to date as well. So that'll give you a little bit of an idea. Stop back there. There's books on the table. The sign says on a donation basis, and you get to choose the price, except for 2 titles there. They have a price marked on them that, because of where I purchased them from, they asked me if I would sell them at a set price. And so I have those 2 books on working with Muslims that are on a set price on there. But otherwise, you get to choose. get rid of some of that paper, and we can move to the next slide. And I believe the next slide is another video. We're going to take a little bit of a trip here. Go to the map first, and I'll take you on a little bit of a tour here. Get in your plane and fly. And I'm not even sure. I've just learned the other day. You see that little star in the center? The capital city of the country of Moldova is, well, I would think it's pronounced Chisinau, but it's pronounced something totally different, I just learned. And I'm not even going to try to give you the proper pronunciation. But it's a little country that's sandwiched between Romania and the Ukraine. It's almost on the Black Sea, but does not stretch right down to the sea. So it's actually landlocked. And a country that I started to learn a little bit about a couple of years ago. There was a young lady who was a Canadian girl, married to a Moldovan, home in Saskatchewan. And I had lined up for her to speak at a chapel at Miller College of the Bible, but I couldn't be there. I was going to be there the next week for their mission conference. And I thought, well, I've got to learn a little bit more about Moldova. And I was so impressed about some of the different things. So go ahead and bring up that video on Moldova, and we can see a little bit of that.
What if you knew that right on the border of the European Union, there's a small country crippled by poverty, corruption, and hopelessness, where many don't know where their next meal will be coming from, where children and elderly are left behind, while adults seek work abroad, where people believe in God, but their tradition tells them they must earn salvation and pay for prayer? Would you want to make a difference? You could be running camps for children, or bring hope and help to neglected elderly, build a playground, or reach youth through football. You could float down a river on a self-built raft to get to the least reached villages of the country. Or you could travel from village to village on old Soviet trains, by horse and cart, or on your own 2 feet. Will you let God take you to a new level of trust in Him as you leave your comfort zone, discover new gifts, and learn from others? Will you let your faith be strengthened during this adventure as God uses you to change lives? Will you give 2 weeks for something that really matters?
I thought I turned this off, but I guess I didn't. We go to the next slide, please. So I'll tell you a little bit about this country. It is one of the poorest nations in Europe. And I'll kind of quickly run through some of the information because it may be too small a font to read from the back. But about 4.5 million people, smallest and most densely populated nation from the old Soviet Union, perhaps the poorest country in Europe. They make about $880 a year. And there's people groups made up there, Moldovans, Russians, Ukrainians, Bulgarians, and there's a Turkic people who I haven't been able to find a whole lot of information about, but there's a small group there of them as well. Most are Orthodox, as we saw in the video, and they're often spiritually open. There's the evangelical church there is growing, but there is some persecution, the poverty. And one of the things that you saw in that video that's led to that is that working generation has left. And now we have all sorts of social safety nets in Canada for seniors, for kids, you name it. But there they don't have that. So the seniors are on their own. They eke out a living in their little shack. Sometimes they freeze to death or starve to death in winter. The children are on their own. So one aspect of the ministry that the OM team does there is to take food or firewood, different things, ministering to the older folks. And then they've started day homes for the kids. And so a lot of it stems from that. And if you go to the next slide, something I'm quite excited about. Moldova had a British leader for about 20 years when it started in 1998. But team there is about 40 people. And just this past year, Eugen. Now, does that look like you would say Eugen? I've learned that that's how his name is pronounced. It looks to me like Eugene, but he's the field leader there. Just been installed there this past year in 2015. And he's going to be in Alberta for 1 week in March. And so would love to get him here longer and have him come up here too. I know he would love it to meet you folks. But he's going to be a couple days in Edmonton, then Red Deer, Stettler, and then down to Three Hills. So we have a very short window of time for him. And so if any of you are interested in even making that trek to Edmonton to come hear him speak, I better not say too much about Edmonton because it's a Saturday night and Sunday morning. You might not appreciate if I get too many to come down there. But 2017, this is maybe more, might strike more of an interest, is Lord willing, because we, with Eugen coming here, we want to use that as a bit of a catalyst to get a team together to take to Moldova, or maybe even as a church family, you want to work on a team to come there. So if you'd like to be a part of an opportunity like that. Okay, let's come back. Get in our plane and we'll come back to Canada. Go to the next slide, please. Go to a city a little bit closer to you, to Edmonton. And the outreach there this year, we've been working in the last 3 to 4 years with a number of different churches there and teaching on different religions. This year, the last week of July, so an opportunity we're going to be teaching on, there's an unstretched version of that same slide out at the back. It didn't fit very well, or I didn't know how to format it very well, but teaching on Islam, Hinduism and New Age, and Mormonism. And so we'll be teaching on that. Then we're going to get you out of your comfort zone to get out, do things like door-to-door, sharing the gospel in different ways that that we can put that into practice. And you're not always going to be sharing necessarily with people from these religious backgrounds. We're working on the some of the different aspects of the what the evangelism part of it is going to, what it's going to look like, depending on some of the festivals and things going on in Edmonton at the time as well. But definitely will be some door-to-door and some one-on-one evangelism. Next slide, please. Give you a little bit of an idea of what we've done in the past. One of the things that we do when we teach about the religions, we'll go to their religious site. So we've gone to the Al Rashid Mosque, the oldest mosque in Canada, but now a brand new or very new building. 2 years ago, we were there, and the imam spent some time with us afterwards, asking and answering some questions. And he asked a question right at the end, Steve Hawkins, who you know very well, is doing most of our teaching for us, but he was there and asked Steve a question about, and basically said that, you know, when Jesus comes back, which they believe he will, but he said, you know what he's going to do when he comes back? He's going to turn all you guys to Islam. I was like, okay. And I didn't think of it quick enough because he only had a short time with us, but I thought of it afterwards. He gave us his card and said, if you have any more questions, send me an email. So I did. What the Lord brought to mind was, well, what if Jesus comes back and tells you that you need to follow him? And so I sent him that question by email, and I waited, and I waited, and I'm still waiting for an answer. I resent it again, but I still haven't heard him. And now he's moved on from Edmonton, this imam, and so I don't know whether it was a catalyst that maybe the Holy Spirit used to start him thinking, but we'll have to see. Maybe only eternity will tell. Next slide. And so another visit this year will be to the Hindu temple. You see Steve there and kind of giving us a little bit with his knowledge and insight, telling us a little bit more about it, and opportunity there to share. One thing I found with Hindus, if you are familiar with sharing with them, they'll gladly add Jesus to their shelf of all their idols, of all of their gods. Where it gets to be a little bit of an issue is when you say, no, it's just Jesus. It's not all these other things. It's just Jesus. And so that's one of the challenges we'll face there. And go ahead. The next one. And a couple of years ago, we did Mormonism as well. And this was their mission map in the wall of the Mormon church. I use the term in quotation marks, in Spruce Grove. Because for every Mormon young person, they're required to spend 2 years doing their missionary service. And this was their map of people. And I thought, whoa, that's a busy map. So it was a challenge to me to actually express that and say, you know, we as God's church need to be challenged to be sending more people out. Okay, let's go to the next one. And then we wrap up with a festival. We work with a little Wesleyan church in the inner city of Edmonton, the Norwood area, block off the streets at the end, and we do a barbecue, invite the whole community to come, and we have a fellow who brings his donkey for the kids. We have the food, and you'll have to give Steve a hard time because you see him in the pictures right close to the food, don't you? So you can tease him next time you see him. But go to the next one. And the Lord has blessed us, came in contact with a fellow who's a Christian aerialist and does aerial acts with a message playing in behind him and this sort of thing as well. So a number of different ways just to bless the community, but to reach out. And this past year, we had two people come to the Lord there and two more people in an outreach we did at West Edmonton Mall, just working with the Marketplace Chapel and going out and sharing with people. So so a great opportunity, and you're all welcome to come and join us for a week in the summer and come be a part of that with us. So next slide, please. I want to segue into God's Word here this morning. I think I was just blessed when I listened to the video in your Sunday school class and how it fit in many ways with what I'm wanting to share with you this morning. But let me just have a word of prayer as we lead into God's Word here this morning. Father, thank you so much for your great love for us and for the privilege that we have to be your ambassadors in this world, to reach out, to share with our neighbors around us, whether it's here in Manning or Notikewin or North Star, wherever it might be, wherever you have planted us, we can be your messengers, and we thank you for that. We thank you for this time this morning that we can come together to worship you, to hear from your word, and to hear of different opportunities that are out there, and we pray that you would just bless this time now as we minister it through your word, and I pray that your spirit would minister to our hearts and use it, whether it's to challenge us, encourage us, motivate us, whatever it may be, and that your name would be lifted up and glorified. In Jesus' name. So when it comes to love in motion, and the scripture verses I have, you can turn and look them up. They're all on the slides. I've got the feeling now as I look to the one in the back, some of you in the back might have a tough time reading this, but I'll mention the verses just so we have the reference and you can look them up if you're not able to. A few of them I think you will know pretty well. This first one, of course, is John 3:16. Most of you could recite it from memory to me. But the underlying attribute, and I thought it was amazing, just the fellow this morning and his analogy, and when he went into the actual father-son relationship. If you haven't been coming to those Sunday school classes, this is a plug. Come and listen to this guy. It was very, very powerful. But the underlying attribute that moved God to do what he did on our behalf was love. You know, but we know that, don't we? We know it, but do we really grasp it? And I think he brought it through in a very powerful way. In 1 John 4:16, it says that God is love. That's his character. But at the same time, you know, it's a many-faceted coin. So I guess we always talk about two sides to a coin, but in many ways, God is like a diamond. There are so many facets to his character. He's also holy. He's also just. He cannot look upon sin, and by his very character and nature has to judge sin. And if we were to just stop there, it'd be kind of scary. And I think some people have stopped there, and it's become a scary thing for them. But it goes on. God did judge sin. But again, not in the way the natural person might expect. You know, our instinct, our culture tells us that, well, if you did it, you know, remember the old Beretta TV show in the 70s, don't do the crime if you can't do the time. It was the one who commits the act. One who commits the act is the one who's supposed to be punished for that. And again, a scary thing. But because of love, because of his love, God was moved to act in a different way. It's what I call the epitome of cross-cultural ministry. I've left Canada, I've ministered in different countries and done different things. You learn, and some of you here have gone to other cultures, and you've learned to adapt in that. But Jesus left heaven and came to earth to live amongst these created beings, sinful created beings, that he had been part of creating, part of the Godhead, and lived as a little baby and then as a young boy and as a man. And he learned how it was to live amongst that fallen, sinful world. And you know the rest of the story. And if you'd been here this morning, you would have heard it described in such a unique way in that sense of a father giving his son. But for God so loved that he gave. The Father gave his son. His attribute of love, his nature of love, moved him to pour his wrath and his justice on himself and not the ones who deserved it. What a message, what a story we have to tell. Love moves God, and love gives. His love gives. Next slide, please. Love goes. Another passage that I'm sure you're maybe not as familiar with, but I'll read it to you from up here in case you're not able to see it. It's from the last few verses of Matthew 28. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I think ever since I sense God wanting me to be involved in mission, that's probably been one of my favorite passages of Scripture. But it was kind of at the conclusion, you know, God had sent his Son, Jesus had come, he had done what he had come to do, and he was concluding his ministry of love that brought him to this world. He was passing the baton at that time, as it were, on to his followers, to the church. The Great Commission was the command whereby love was going to move the church of God to continue spreading the love of God and moving as Jesus had begun. No, they weren't to pay the price for their own sin. Jesus already did that. Never forget that. But the church was to be so moved as to love the nations around them. And that I've always found is fascinating because of just the contrast of God's desire for the nations is spread throughout Scripture. He loved all the nations. He created all the nations to worship and serve him. Prior to Israel being on the scene, it was a case of where the nations were to see Israel and see how Jehovah God worked on their behalf. They kind of blew it. But from the New Testament on, that's when the command to go came, where the church, God's new covenant people, were said to go to the nations. It was no longer a sense of the nations coming through that crossroads of the world known as Israel, but that the church was to go out to the nations and to spread that love. They were to love the nations by letting them know that God had been moved to love them already. It wasn't something they were going to, you know, have to go and earn, that they had to find a God and say, well, okay, how can I make God love me? No, the church was to tell them that God already loved them and he already was moved, so moved that he sent his Son and he gave his Son. The church was to be the messenger moved by that very same love that we just talked about. And love would continue to move as Jesus promised to be with the church, with them. And when I first read this verse, when it clicked for me that, okay, I was going into mission, this was back in part of the early 80s. I'd come to the Lord in 81, got involved. I was living in Edmonton at the time, but down in Stettler when I asked Christ into my life, back up to Edmonton. And the church that I was part of at that time had a very strong outreach vision in the Millwoods community. We were knocking on doors one night a week and sharing. Every Sunday there was an altar call and people getting saved. And then God was starting to work in my heart to say, you know what, the world is a little bigger than Edmonton, and I want you to start to get ready to go somewhere else. And it was like, okay, well, where? And how I came involved in OM was kind of an interesting process because, I mean, I'd come from a background of drugs and alcohol. I'd never been exposed to a church until I became a Christian, other than, well, we were raised in a very nominal denomination. We went to weddings and funerals, and that was about it when I was a kid. But by this time, I was starting to realize there's a lot of mission organizations out there. So, like, Lord, if I go into mission, who would I go with? And then I just started tripping over people who had been involved with OM, and I'm thinking, okay, Lord, you're trying to tell me something, aren't you? And then I heard about the ship ministry, and I'd been doing warehouse work and parts order desk, things like that. And when I heard about the ship, and I thought of the bookstore on board and the book holds where they would store the books and bring them up, I thought, well, yeah, I could do that. It's like warehouse work. And then I got to the ship. I'd never seen the ocean before. I joined the ship in 1987. They tried to make a sailor out of me, this Alberta boy, and I was shipwrecked 3 months later, but it wasn't my fault. But that's another story, and I could really get in trouble if I say it was a woman driver. But she was more qualified to steer the ship than most of the men on board, the lady that was at the wheel that night. So I'm not going to go down that road now. That could be chasing a rabbit for a while too. But when I first had this passage sink into me, and that last bit, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age, I wept because I had a sense that, yes, I was going to be, God was telling me to go. And then along with that was to say, you know, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you when you go. It's not like you're going out on your own and I'm waiting back here for you to come and report back to me. It's like, you go, but let's go because I'm taking you with me and I'm going to, and speaking of wild rides, it's been a wild ride over the years there too. But the book of Acts tells us the beginning of that amazing story and how it happened when Jesus started to send his church out, and they went. And 2,000 years later, love is still moving God's church. Love is still moving God. Love is still going, and the church is still going. Perhaps it's like a team I recently read about on the Logos Hope. They visited a prison in the islands of the Seychelles off East Africa and ministering to inmates. Some of them had been involved in drug trafficking, doing drugs themselves, alcohol abuse, theft, and even some of them were Somalian pirates who had been arrested and put in there. The inmates heard the gospel. Some of them took Bibles. I didn't read in that article that any of them had given their lives to Christ at that point, but I believe it's only a matter of time before some of them will. Or maybe it's my colleague Christoph, who he's based in Winnipeg, does what I do, but he went to Serbia in November to work with some of the Syrian refugees, and some of the stories he was able to share of just being able to be a practical expression of God's love to these people who had just lost everything and left everything behind. Or some of you know the Eckert family, Andrew and Dale Eckert, who are in Nepal with OM. And theirs is quite a unique story, but in recent times when the last major earthquake hit, Andrew was given the task of overseeing much of the relief effort that OM was part of in Nepal for that. And now they've just had another earthquake, but it sounds as though it isn't as bad, and so whether there'll be any more involvement that way. But the unique thing for him, I was telling Gordon and Kathy last night, Andrew was raised on a farm. Some of you may know their story a bit, but he was raised on a farm, thought, you know, I'm going to just take over Dad's farm and stay farming the rest of my life. But he comes to Bible college, God calls him into mission, and he thinks, well, that's it for farming. Goes off to Nepal, and in his first 2 years there, the leader approaches him and said, we want to start a farming project. And some of you may have heard of Shiloh Farms that they do. It's a farming part of the training for the Nepalese when they come in to do their training, and then they can be more sufficient, self-sufficient when they go back to their villages to share Christ, but they also have a practical means of sustaining themselves and their family. So that's part of what Andrew is doing as that love of God going. Or maybe it's our teams that have been sharing Christ in Edmonton the last few years. Over a two-year period of two of the outreaches, we saw a Buddhist lady come to faith in Christ. A young man from the Filipino church there that was working with us had never done door-to-door before, but was teamed up with a pastor from Spruce Grove who does door-to-door all the time. And they were going to this door and taking turns. And so it was Michael's turn. And he's in fear and trepidation, goes and knocks on the door. And this lady answered the door. And they went through the survey with her and said thank you and left and didn't think any more about it. But they didn't know what God was doing behind the scenes. This lady, who was a Buddhist, she, a couple days later, had this dream that she was to go down to this little white building on the corner. You saw the little white building in one of the slides. And you're going to learn about me. And she goes down to the church. Pastor Philip happens to be coming up the stairs from the basement, which meets right at the door. And she sees him there, and she says, are you God? And Philip says, no, I'm not God, but we learn about him here. So she began coming to church, and she has since come to faith, and she's been baptized and is following Jesus. And so an opportunity in that. Or maybe that expression of love will be the team that, Lord willing, we take next year to Moldova, and some of you might be a part of. But love is moving the church even today. The church is going, and that love is going. But a question for us is, are we being moved? Are we going? Are we being carriers of that love? And the final slide, I call it Love Loves. Or I don't know if you're familiar with a speaker named Bob Goff. He has a book that he's written called Love Does. But I've heard Bob speak a couple of times. He's a lawyer who God has opened some amazing doors in Uganda working with child soldiers. And some of the stories he has told about that are just amazing. But that love is the bottom line. And I'll read the verses again here for you just in case you can't see them. But 1 Corinthians 13, if I speak in the tongues of men or angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, can fathom all mysteries, all knowledge, and faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship, that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Or I love the way the Message paraphrases that last bit. So no matter what I say, what I believe, what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. Is what we do an outward expression of God's love, or it is us, again, that idea of somehow thinking, well, we can measure up a little more to God. We can earn more of God's favor because we're doing these things. It's going to fade into oblivion if that's how we end up. the verses make it pretty clear that it doesn't matter what we do, if the foundation isn't love, then it's pretty meaningless. And it's not just any love. Because remember, if you've done some reading on the Greek language and the words, different words used for love in Scripture, you know, we can serve the poor, we can suffer, we can exhibit all of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but if we don't do it as an expression of love, and that love is that agape love of God. It's not just that nice feeling to think, you know, there's feelings may go along with it, but often it's a choice to say, God, fill me with that love so that I can be an expression of it. And it's the same love that moved God to come to this earth, the same love by which he wants to empower each one of us to do the things that he's asked us to do, to love those neighbors that are a little bit cantankerous and, you know, they're too loud with their parties sometimes, or to love the guy down the street who we think, you know, is this guy selling drugs at the school or anything like this? Are these the sort of things? How do we love these people? It's only going to be the love of God, because we're not going to muster any love up for somebody like that, are we? It's got to be his love. And then how do we express that? That's going to come as we're walking with Jesus and him telling us, say, what can you do to this person? What can you do for this person? And if we're moved by the love of God, the things mentioned in these verses will be represented in our lives. Now, I could go on and talk more about this, but I want to play you a video, and I'll tell you a bit of a story about this. There's a man named Ray who I knew on the Doulos. He's now almost 90 years old, and he lives in a nursing home in California. But let me tell you a story that kind of is a kick in the pants for me, but says what the kind of character Ray was. When he was on the ship, he was an evangelist. He was probably, well, let's see, 90s. He was between 60 and 70, probably, but in his 60s at that time anyway, I guess. But he loved to go out and share Christ. And he would do open airs. I don't know if you've ever seen sketchboards or anything like that, where you have the big easel set up and you do the message on paper behind you and you fill in the blanks and the gospel message come through. He loved to do that. And so we would go out, and we were in Hong Kong one time, and we were out in the port area. We'd done a few open airs, and it was starting to get a little bit late, and it was hot. And, you know, tropical climates were a little too warm for my fat little body, so I was kind of like, okay, it's time to get back to the ship. And even when there wasn't very good air conditioning, it was better than being out in the heat. But Ray, being a man who was an expression of God's love, he said, oh, we've got time. Let's go do another open air. So he packed everything up, and we went off to another spot, and I'm thinking, but it's almost supper time. I didn't say this, but for him, you know, remember what Jesus said about food was for him to do the will of the Father? Well, that was Ray. And so we went off and we did another open air. We got back a bit late for supper, but I mean, I don't remember if anybody received Christ during that last open air. I'm sure there was, but it was just the challenge for me to realize, you know, whoa, you know, there's a person who maybe I can emulate a bit instead of being so selfish and just thinking about, you know, my schedule, my time. So go ahead and play that video. It's a later version of Ray in life.
The team in Italy, some of them are still, these two guys are still missionaries. These three are still missionaries in Italy. Ron Packham, Paul Holy, Stan Cochran.
My name is Ray Lynch, and I'm a veteran OMer, Operation Mobilization. I've been with them for 50 years. Born in New Jersey and living here in Claremont, California, in retirement the last 5 years. I've been to every country in the world, and there's 217 of them at the latest count.
China, Cyprus, East Timor, India, Indonesia, Iran, Iraq. Well, I started on the ships, going from port to port, but then I soon realized that there are a lot of countries without ports. So I set out systematically to reach all those countries without ports.
It took me pretty well the whole 50 years that I've been with Operation Mobilization, yeah.
I
only did it to please him who has chosen me to go into all the world. It says, if you love me, keep my commands. And I figured it's quite important to take seriously his last command. There's still much land to be possessed. I trust now that I got my pacemaker, I'll get my win for keep going. Sure, if I hear of another new country, I assure you I'll be checking the travel agency how to get to that new country. In the last 5 years, I've left this retirement home 3 times to go to such new countries.
Man, and you, there are a lot of things that I'm still learning, like loving one another like I have loved you. Woo! I'm still learning. What's the value of going into all the world if we're just banging gongs and clanging cymbals? You know, what's the point of it if we don't have love when we're going, huh? How can we count it as sacrifice to give the little that we have in the light of Jesus Christ, who is God, giving his own blood in order to pay once the penalty for all my sins? All my sins are gone. All my sins have been paid for. That's good news. That's worth shouting from the housetops. That's worth going and keep going as long as we have breath, till we reach every nation, every tribe, every tongue.
Somebody we can aspire to be. When I grow up, I'd like to be a lot more like him. But if his love, and it is his love that's in motion through us, and that love gives, that love goes, and that love loves. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. Let's pray. Living God, we thank you that you poured out your love in such a way that you gave your son on our behalf. And we don't understand that. Many of us here have sons and we just can't imagine that. Yes, we want to kick them in the behinds at times and things like this, but we would never think of giving them for the sin of a sinful world. And yet you did that. And Jesus went willingly. And now we have the privilege of being your messengers and taking that love to the nations of the world, wherever that may be, whether it's in our backyard or to the ends of the earth. So God, would you just speak to us and challenge us and use us as your messengers in that way. And so we just thank you and praise you for your goodness to us in Jesus' name. Amen.